This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C, and welcome to the Breakfast Grill. Today, we are in conversation with Chin Ying Lung. He's the Regional Managing Director for ASEAN and SAGE, short for South Asian Growing Economies, for Oracle Corporation. Now, Oracle Corporation is one of America's most established multinational computer technology companies in the world. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Ying Lung. If we search for the word cloud in Oracle's latest 10K results ending May 31st, you get about 468 results, right, for the word cloud. Now, this big bet on cloud was a decade-long investment. Can you give us some context to why cloud is so important to Oracle?
Yeah, so you got it right, Philip. So you cited some great numbers, right? So it's a huge market, and if you look at whatever analyst industry reports that you see, right, it's continue. You know, it's really a hyper-growth area. So, and Oracle wants to be in that as well. So, we are positioning ourselves. And you look at where Oracle is today with regards to cloud. So we have like 33 cloud regions today, right, live. And by 2022, we will have 44 cloud regions, that's available for our customers, right? So, and a lot of customers today, due to pandemic or, you know, the COVID-19, they are going through a hyper-digitalization, in the industry, whether your bank branches is closed or whether, you know, you want to do a buy a phone or telco, you know, those during the pandemic time, you literally couldn't do that, right? And a lot of all this transaction goes online and digital. And that's where I call it the hyper-digitalization. So the pandemic kind of increased that digitalization needs. Yep. And that's where cloud comes in.
But I have to say, though, that this big bet you made for cloud wasn't a result of pandemic. You know, Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle, I think highly visionary, anticipated this whole move to cloud computing even before the pandemic came through. What was the rationale and business decision to make this huge re-pivot and investment into cloud, you know, at a time when it wasn't a done deal or certain?
Yeah. Now, I think, Philip, my point was that the pandemic, you know, kind of fueled the hyper growth of cloud, right? So, yeah. So that actually helps a lot of hyperscaler like Oracle, right? Because that pandemic really helped that cloud business in a big way. But you're right, right? So we started going into the cloud business way, way before the pandemic. So we knew back then that, you know, cloud is going to be a big growth area. And that's the reason why Larry actually went ahead, right? And in fact, we actually rebuilt our first generation of cloud. So we pride ourselves as the only cloud vendor today that has the next generation of cloud infrastructure. A lot of the cloud hyperscaler out there, you see, they are very much still on the first generation. But what Larry saw, 6 years ago, right, is actually cloud. Like you mentioned, right? Cloud is going to be big. It's going to have a big, huge market share. And that's the reason why Larry decided to rebuild the entire cloud infrastructure from ground up to become the next generation that addresses the hyper secure, you know, hyper performance and the automation that you really need, right? In the cloud offerings.
But can you help me, explain to a novice like me who is really far from being a technophile, what the difference is between a first generation and a next generation cloud solution?
Yeah, so the first generation built on the cloud is mainly, they focuses on a lot of shared resources, right? So you put your compute, your application, you take their compute and storage or whatever. So a lot of it are actually shared. So it's not really catered for the performance needs that you want. So in the next generation that Oracle offers, right, it actually focuses a lot on performances. In fact, performances in the sense that, we actually allow you bare metal performance. That means dedicated to your resource, right? So there's no noisy neighbors because you're not essentially sharing, right? And then security. Right. Security is important in a cloud, as you know, right? It's very important that it is hyper secure. In fact, in our architecture, right, security is always on, is by default, right? We built it to make sure that it is so secure that, the administrator is not able to see the data and the data people are not able to access, the control plane to make the changes. And obviously the third part, most important, is also the automation that comes with it, right? I think it's important, like one of the offerings that Oracle Cloud Infrastructure have is actually the, you know, the autonomous database, right? Where it does all the, you know, self-securing, you know, self-tuning, right? And self-repair. So every time you have something that goes down, it automatically repairs itself. It automatically patches itself, right? And take away the need for you to do, you know, a lot of administration. Because when you move to the cloud, Philip, what you really want is the automation as well, right? You do want to be upgrading the patches and whatever not, right? Which what you typically get when you go into a traditional generation one, right? When you bring your application over to the cloud. But in Oracle case, we want to make it as secure, as high performance as possible, right? Hyperscale, we call it. And then, you know, the automation that comes along with it. So that differentiates next generation of cloud.
Right. So perhaps you have a better product. Perhaps you have thought and well ahead of the curve in terms of the technology. And you have made those big bets in cloud. But, you know, it would be fair to say that if you look at the likes of Microsoft and Amazon, they have overshadowed your business and they have grown faster than you. I mean, if I look at Microsoft Azure, it's nearly 3 to 4x your business, right? So are you playing catch up? And how are you going to rebuild and regain share?
Yeah, so Philip, a good question, right? Yes, you know, there's no denying we are behind, but also being behind means we learn from the mistake that you know that people make, right? So we have the advantage of that. Yes, we today we have a triple digit growth, right, on our cloud. But I also want to point out at this point in time, right, that we are not focusing only on a competitor because we're also focusing on our customers. You know, we want to see where the customers' demands are, what they really want from Oracle, and how we can support them in their business as they go into digitization, right? The digital transformation and then the business needs. So, but if you also look at taking a step back, if you also look at the Oracle market today, because what you are talking about is plainly on the IS side, the infrastructure as a service, which is the compute and the storage. But there's a one big piece that we have, which both the hyperscaler that you mentioned that do not have, is the software as a service, the application that you know we offer today, which is not offered today, right? By a lot of the hyperscaler out there. When I talk about software as a service, it's like application like the ERP, the financials, the procurement, you know, very much a lot of organization needed that, you know, the enterprise performance planning as well as the human capital management. So these are the applications that Oracle has today. And that's actually the biggest differentiator today for Oracle Cloud versus the rest of them out there, right? The rest of the competitor out there, because they don't have that application layer that we have. So we always pride ourselves, Philip, as the only vendor today that have the most complete cloud offerings from the SaaS, which is a software application tier, down to the platform as a service, and down to the infrastructure as a service. The hyperscaler that you mentioned predominantly plays at that last tier, which is the infrastructure as a service.
Yeah, I get your point. You're saying basically you tie in very nicely the infrastructure and the solutions at the software side, right? Essentially.
Absolutely.
So that is what you claim as a differentiator. So help me contrast, because top line numbers growth about 4% globally, but you were saying just now your cloud solutions is growing at a triple digit rate. So how much does cloud now contribute to the total business of Oracle versus your other non-cloud or on-prem solutions?
So, Philip, as you can see, we reported our Q1 numbers just, I think that was the last month. We kind of reported our slightly more than a month. I think that was sometime in September, right? So we actually reported the earnings per share up 19%. Right, which is 86 cents, right? Non-GAAP EPS, earnings per share, up 11%, right, to $1.03. Our application side, the Fusion ERP revenue, went up 32%, right? And of course, our NetSuite, which is the other SaaS, right, the other application, ERP cloud application, the revenue went up 28%. So in total, the IS, which is the infrastructure as a service, plus the SaaS cloud revenue, you know, it contributes around 25% of the quarterly revenue. And that's all, that's what reported as, you know, in the earnings, right, that we have done in Q1, which was in September right. 2 months ago.
Let's just contrast, you know, some of the results and numbers you have, which is on the ERP, the application side. You're seeing high 20s, mid 30% growth year on year, which is very commendable, you know. But it is actually a market that's even growing much faster, right? Because if you look at the likes of Freshworks, they delivered 46% growth in their numbers. So you are seeing a bit of pressure on the infrastructure side with Microsoft and Amazon. You say you have a differentiator with the solutions and applications, but your competitors like Freshworks are even growing at a much faster rate. Are you struggling to find the right balance between being able to offer these holistic solutions while your competitors actually are being able to chip away and being very targeted in what they offer?
I suppose it all also boils down to the base that you have, right, Philip? So Oracle comes with a bigger revenue base because of our traditional businesses. Because like I mentioned earlier on that, you know, our business just not encompasses, you know, entirely the cloud. We do have the licenses business as well. But if you look at the entire base growing at 25%, you know, for our IS and SaaS business as a total revenue from a bigger base, to me, it's a commendable result. And that the analyst, you know, has responded, and the share price too, right? Because over the last 1-2 years, you probably can see the share price of Oracle, right? That's the confidence that the analyst has as well. Yeah.
On The Breakfast Grill, we are in conversation with Chin Ying Lung, Regional Managing Director for ASEAN and SAGE, South Asian Growing Economies for Oracle Corporation. I'm Philip C., BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Welcome back. Today on the hot seat is Chin Ying Lung, Regional Managing Director for ASEAN and SAGE, short for South Asian Growing Economies for Oracle Corporation. Now, Ying Lung, we talked quite a lot about your cloud solutions and how you are differentiated yourselves from your application competitors and your infrastructure competitors as well. Can I ask you, how has the pandemic shaped what your customers are asking you to look at now?
Yeah, good question, Philip. Yes, so you're right. So the pandemic has really created a hyper growth, right, of the entire IT consumption, right? So as mentioned, right, a lot of the traditional way of organization interacting with their customers has also shifted due to the pandemic, right? You cannot just walk into the branch during the heightened phase, right? You know, where the banks are, some branches are closed. So it kind of helped to pivot a lot of things into the digital side. And cloud plays a big role when it comes to digitization. Right. So new business model are being spun out. You know, a lot of customers' behavior has changed as well. And that's where, you know, we come in, right? Because Oracle has been helping to a lot of customers, right, in the digital transformation journey. So we actually have services around it, right, to work with the customers to pivot towards digital. And with the pandemic, it kind of hyper push, right, the customers towards that area.
Yes, I mean, I just want to count that you have a whole bunch of marquee clients in Malaysia, Farmaniaga, Digitelenor recently are all your new clients that came through. But what, you know, strikes me is that they're very large, some multinational, huge corporate businesses. So my question is, are Oracle solutions really suited for small, medium enterprises? Because they really account for 80% of the business. They are the chunk of the economy at the moment. Are your solutions perhaps too sophisticated, too next generation for SMEs that perhaps want something a bit more simpler?
Sure. No, great question, Philip. In fact, we do have offerings for SMEs as well. And if you look at our, from the application tier side, right, we have a unit called NetSuite. NetSuite actually offers the software as a service application that encompasses all the financials, the ERPs, the supply chains, and everything into a SaaS model. And that's mainly targeted for the SMEs. And then even our cloud infrastructure, our OCI, the IS that we talk about, we actually also cater, right, beside just helping customers, the existing big enterprise, to move the workload onto our OCI, but we also have the services available today that caters for all these digital native, you know, organization, the startups, right? Services like the application development. So the APIs based, right? And how you build application on container, on Kubernetes. And that's something that we do offer the startups and the SMEs, right? Right from the application tier all the way down to the, you know, the cloud infrastructure layer.
So if we shift our attention from the smallest possible clients to the largest ever client possible in Malaysia, which is the government of Malaysia, I mean, you probably know, right? The government has committed to the digital economy. They have a blueprint on it. They have nominated four cloud service providers, so Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Telecom Malaysia. Why wasn't Oracle selected?
Yes, we are also working with the government of Malaysia, and we have many government of Malaysia ministries today, right? That is our customer today. In fact, yeah, it's interesting at this point as well, Philip, I just also want to say that, you know, in our cloud offering, we just do not just provide a public cloud, which is the cloud infrastructure I talk about, the IS, but we also have a different flavor of cloud today. Like, for instance, we are able to bring the cloud infrastructure within your data center, right? We place it behind your firewall, especially when you have data sovereignty requirements, right? So we actually place that behind your firewall, whether in the form of the accelerator cloud at customers or also a dedicated region. That means we bring the entire public cloud infrastructure behind your firewall, behind, you know, within your premise, right? So that's an offering that we have. In fact, we have got good number of customers today that in Malaysia that actually runs our accelerator cloud at customers, whereby, you know, that complete cloud is behind their firewall in their premise, right? And it essentially does the same thing that what you would get on a public cloud.
But I guess the question, question is back again to the whole point about government and public sector relationship. Why was Oracle not considered as one of the main cloud service providers by the government of Malaysia? I mean, you talk about the solutions, which are great, but it comes back to why was Oracle not selected?
Yeah, so we are working on that one. I think one of the selection criteria is that you must have invest in a data center in Malaysia, right? And our investment, like I mentioned earlier on, right? Today we have 33 cloud region today, yep, worldwide, and we are going to move to 44, you know, in 2022. Right. And obviously that also depends on where our customer wants us to be. Right. So we look at like the one that we launched in Singapore, the Singapore Data Center, that which is to cater for the ASEAN customers as well. It's also because of the customer demands that, you know, for us to set up the data center in Singapore to support their growth. Similarly in Malaysia as well, right? So we also work based on the customer demands. But today, the good thing for us is that because we are able to have different flavors of, you know, cloud offerings, right? Not just a public cloud, but also if you want a smaller scale cloud within your own premise because of data sovereignty issue, because of PDPA, right, issues. And we are able to deliver that behind your firewall, in your premise, you know, to have that cloud infrastructure today available for our customers. And a number of customers today in Malaysia actually have that.
Yeah, so you did say that actually Oracle has made investments in building more cloud data regions or cloud regions across the region, and Asia Pacific is one of the core markets. You have actually announced a rollout plan, and that includes the likes of China, India, Japan. And as you mentioned, you opened the Singapore cloud region. When is Malaysia going to be in the pipeline?
Yeah. Philip, yes, again, like mentioned, right, it all depends on where our customer wants us to be. A lot of the investment is really, you know, preceded by the customer's request for us, right, and really to support their customer's business growth, right? That's something which they will then decide, right, as to when we will have the data center, right,
so,
in Malaysia.
So is this a bit of chicken and egg, which is that the government of Malaysia actually says, I want to do it, and you're saying, look, it's the customer, which is the government of Malaysia, that wants to do it. So if you're hearing a loud clarion call from the government of Malaysia that we want people like you to set up the region, would you set up a cloud region in KL then or in Klang Valley?
Yes, if there's demand for requests for us with a demand that comes in, yes, why not, right? So that's also but again, I want to just reemphasize, Philip, that we have three different types of the offerings today, right? The hybrid cloud today. So you can have like one big cloud region that we set up, like the one that has happened in Singapore to support the region, or you could have a smaller scale one. We call it a dedicated region, which is completely just for the government of Malaysia in this instance, right?
And you would do that? You would be quite open to do that? Have a dedicated cloud region for the government of Malaysia?
Yeah, not just government, but for any other customers as well in any part of the world, right? And if you probably know, right, we reported like Nomura Research Institute in Japan actually have a dedicated cloud region, right, that we set up for them, right, to support their growth, you know, because they use a fair bit of application and also the IS, right, the infrastructure as a service. So we actually built a whole dedicated cloud region for Nomura Research Institute and also the government of Oman as well. So these are some of these customers that wanted that infrastructure but dedicated to them. So we built one, for the customers. So it it's really from the customer request, and customer, really, right, that will actually decide where our next investment would be.
Now, let's just take a step back. Let's take the bigger picture. Now, Oracle, you are legendary in making all these very big bets, these big moves, because led by Steve Ellison, right? What's next after cloud?
It's like a crystal ball, right, Philip, right? But the cloud today is keeping Oracle very busy. That's where our focus today is. We are very ambitious in where we want to be, right? We have a clear intent where we want to be. We put our strategy, we put our investment. We actually redesign our, organization as well, right, to be more cloud-centric. In fact, a fair bit of investment has gone in, even in Malaysia as well, right? We have a cloud hub center. We hired more than 100 over people, slightly like 2 years ago, right, to support the growth of the cloud in the region as well. So a lot of investment focused around this cloud today, Philip. So I won't be able to tell you, what will be there in the next 3 to 4 years, because IT, really the whole industry moves so fast, right? But at this point, I can assure you that, the cloud is our focus area and we want to, we have a very ambitious goal and we want to be successful in this market.
How do you deliver this ambitious goal? Because my question to you is, do you guys actually write the code or do you buy code? Because over the past, 10, 15 years, you've really made a lot of transactions, a lot of M&As, about 150 over transactions, right? What's the plan? Are you going to organically build the capabilities within, or are you going to fill it with small businesses with huge potential and technology know-how?
It's a combination of both, Philip. We will do, we if you have seen from the announcement, we do acquisition as well, but we also have our, organic growth too, right? Which is we also build our own applications to really support our customers. So we do both in that sense. So a number of all this new technology that you see out there, whether it is the autonomous database, it's actually built from Oracle, right? Product development team that will provide you all the great functionality that you have for autonomous transaction processing or autonomous data warehouse, right? That's able to provide all the automation I talked about earlier on about self-securing it, self-tuning it, right? And some of these great features. So we have been building as well besides just acquiring.
Ying Long, thank you so much. That's all the time we have for today. On the grill today, Chin Ying Long, Regional Managing Director for ASEAN and SAGE for Oracle Corporation. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.